Hello everyone, a very warm welcome to the Travel Podcast. I hope you've had a great week so far. Thank you so much for tuning in. This week we've got another fabulous guest for you and we're talking about our favourite subject, of course, it is travel. My good friend TV personality Cece Coleman is joining us. Now you may have seen her on our screens for the last 10 years. She's had a very important role in the Channel 4 show First Dates. It's been extremely popular. She's done the First Dates Hotel, she's done other reality shows as well. She also runs her own business and we are currently chatting to one another, and Cece's joining us from Australia. Hello Cece, welcome to the Travel Podcast.
What an intro, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's your morning and my evening, isn't it? So we're at opposite ends.
I can't get my head around it. I mess this up every time. Every time I have a meeting or I talk to the family, we're on the wrong times that we thought we were. So yeah, it's my morning and it's great. And unfortunately, it's your quite late evening, isn't it?
It is, but it's worth it to chat to you about everything that you've got going on. And of course, a subject that you're so passionate about, travel, hence why you are in Australia right now. And we'll dive into that in more detail as the episode goes on. And what I love so much about you is that you really prioritize travel and solo travel, which is a huge trend at the moment, and I really feel like it's having a moment. And I know solo travel is something that you've been doing for years, and I love that you haven't let traveling on your own like hold you back from experiencing all these amazing different places that you've been to.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's exactly it. I was being held back. Because when you're always waiting for other people to go traveling with or to go on holiday with, then it stops you. Because when you get older, everyone's lives change. You know, you're not 18 going, should we just book a girl's trip? People have lives to live. So I had to kind of, if I wanted to travel, I had to get really comfortable with being uncomfortable and just do it myself. And now it just feels like the norm. Like it honestly feels, I don't even think about it. I just book it. It's time to go, need to do this. I don't have that fear anymore. Whereas 5 years ago, I was like, eating on my own? Absolutely not. Like on a plane on my own? No, like unless it was for a job. I always felt like I could travel if I was going for a reason. But when you're just going away on your own, it can feel really tough.
But do you think it's just doing it? And then that made you overcome your fear?
Yeah, I think it's for me, when bad stuff's going on in my life, something good always comes of it. It makes me act because I'm so sick of being in my own head. So breakups, I thank all my friends for being exes, because you have made me solo travel. Whenever the first time I traveled, which was, I think it was like 5-6 years ago, I was going for a breakup. And I think I just met you, actually. I think you and I had just been, or maybe it was the year later. Anyway, I had, I was going for this breakup and thought, like, this is tragic. It's Christmas. Like, I'm seeing all these photos of everybody. And I just thought this is the worst time to be alone and single, even though you're not alone. You know, life hasn't stopped, but you feel like that when you're going through a breakup. So I just Googled hottest places within a 4-hour travel. And Gran Canaria came up, and I just before I had even chance to talk myself out of it, I just booked it. I was like, I'm just going to find somewhere, like, just go. And day one, when I arrived, like the booking part actually wasn't that hard. It was when I got there, I was just sort of like, so what am I supposed to do with myself? Like, what do you do now? Like, you've got here. Because the build up and the journey and the plane, you're having stuff to do. So you're busy because you're on a flight. You're busy because you're getting your coffee. But when you get there, you've got to actually make stuff. You've got to make your own time. You've got to make something up. And I just thought, oh my God, I don't even have a plan. Like, so anyway, I called my dad, had an absolute meltdown. I was like, this is awful. And it wasn't sunny either. It was like a storm. And I was in this really cheap hotel room. And I remember the blinds were like clackering against the windows. And I was like, this is like a horror movie. And my dad kept saying, just sit with it. Like, be patient. The thing that I don't have still now is patience. You're like, be patient, sit with it. And it always feels better in the morning. Try and get a good night's sleep. Anyway, I managed to have a good night's sleep, woke up in the morning, the sun was beaming, And it was like everything just felt good again. And then I still didn't have plans, but I made plans. I was just walking around, walking, listening to other people like around me, like people watching. It's so fun when you're doing it on your own. Eating out, like that was really, like that was probably one of the biggest things I was struggling with, because I thought I can't possibly walk in there because everyone's going to know that A, I'm single, and B, I'm going for a breakup. You know, no one cares, but in my head, everyone cared. So I went to this restaurant where nobody was in it. That was my first meal. It was because they eat at different times over there. And I went and had my lunch really late and I sat on my own, and the waiter came over, didn't even like, you know, didn't say, is it for two? Just didn't say a thing, just poured some water in my glass and had this meal. And I remember being glued to my phone because I thought that's what I should, you know, that's going to get me out of feeling uncomfortable. And then like 5 minutes into it, I thought, just look up, like look up and like look around you, look what you can see. And it was this beautiful restaurant overlooking the water. And I just stared at people playing, kids playing, people having a good time, like on the beach whilst I ate my food. And I'll always remember that moment because it was just, and I guess anyone thinking about solo travel, it's never as bad as you think it's going to be. And also it isn't bad. You only get benefits from it because you feel super strong when you return because you've done something that feels like such a big deal. But when you get home, you're like, God, I did that. And you kind of take that strength into other areas of your life.
So Cece, I'm really interested in your childhood holiday experiences. Did you go away much when you were younger?
Well, we did. We didn't have much money when I was a child. So our holidays were restricted to the UK only. So we went to, every year, we went to Tenby in Ireland then, in Wales. And that was our summer holiday. We'd go for 2 weeks. We'd stay in a camper van. I knew no difference. So to me, it was like the best thing ever. I remember being on the campsites and they'd have these discos and me and my sister would go and like plait our hair and dance around. And it was like, you know, the thought of it now is so different to the experience of it, because it was, well, we just had a great time. So no, I didn't, we didn't get on a plane. Oh, God, I can't remember. I don't know how old I was. The first time we went abroad was a mega trip, and that was to South Africa. And that was because my gran lived over there and she bought us some tickets and said, come and stay. So that was like, it was really, really an interesting experience because we'd never been on a plane. It was such a long journey it takes. And we changed planes what felt like 10 times to get there. That was my first experience of like being abroad and acclimatizing and all the rest of it. But being that young, you know, everything's easy, isn't it? You just deal with it. So that was my first experience of going abroad. And then I think we went again a few years later, like 5 or 6 years later, went to South Africa again. And then my next travel, like as me, as in like with friends, was when I must have been 17. And we went to Cyprus, we went to Ayia Napa. And that was like, I mean, the best, because I was young and just, you know, experiencing life at that point. That was the best thing ever. But again, the thoughts of it now is like, not sure if it's my vibe anymore. But back then, it was brilliant.
It was so popular, then, wasn't it?
Oh my God, yeah. Like we went, we it was like our annual trip. So we did all the sort of European bits, a little bit of Greece, and then I guess I started choosing holidays for the actual destination rather than the like the fun, the kind of like, oh, this is like an 18 to 30s holiday. Rather than it being that experience, I was choosing it for actually wanting to explore the island and see the world a bit more. But that, I guess, actually, when I think about that now, maybe that was in my early 30s I started doing that. We went to Croatia and that was like maybe the first time I remember thinking, this is stunning. And I'm actually like looking at the scenery, not just the next Long Island iced tea.
It is interesting how I think people in general, their travel style kind of evolves over the years and changes. And so now, is it very much about the destination for you and beautiful scenery and being out in nature? Is that what you look for?
I think, yeah, it depends if you're going with a partner. It depends if you're going with a friend. It depends if you're doing it solo. When you're solo, you're looking for more of that. But when you're going with, say, a partner, I'm probably looking for something a bit more romantic. So it's not so, the country doesn't matter as much. It's more about like, where are we going to go and have a lovely time? Whereas now I try and see different things. I try and understand other people's cultures. Whereas before I was never interested in that. It was just about like, where's the sun? I guess being British, you know, we don't always have that sunshine. It's like, wherever's sunny, I'm going to go. Whereas now, solo, I try and experience different things. But I would also say, when if anyone's thinking of solo travel, start small. Like, don't, you know, it doesn't have to be like you don't have to go across the other side of the world. Like, start small, because there will be things that you need to feel safe, like the familiarities. So just going somewhere that's maybe 2 hours away on a plane is, I think, is probably the best way to start doing solo travel, rather than just, well, I mean, if you're ballsy, then maybe go somewhere further away. But it's quite nice to know that the option to come home is also there. It makes you feel a bit more safe.
You've got that kind of safety net. And then maybe for some people, that's the way to do it. Build up your confidence, maybe start with little mini trips away or a long weekend, see how you feel. And then hopefully you've got that confidence in yourself to then go further afield. And once I think you kind of break that barrier, then there's no stopping you.
No, well, a bit like now, I've gone to like the furthest part of, you know, I could be any further from the UK now. This was a big trip.
Because you actually started in Bali, and I know that you've been there the year before. And I'd love to talk more about Bali as a destination, because I know it's got a very special place in your heart, hasn't it?
Yes, yes. Yeah, Bali was born out of another breakup. That, so again, thank you to my ex. That was another, like, I need to go as far away as possible. I don't want to be anywhere near my situation. So it's always been on my list in my head, but I never really, I just thought it was so far. I just thought, how can I it's too far for me. Plus it feels so far removed from what I know. The things I'd heard about it was, I guess it was just different to what, like, the European countries that I'd visited. And then I went to a lunch one day, and there was this girl I met, and she said, oh, I live in Bali. And she seemed, we had very similar jobs, and she seemed very similar to like the things that I need and the things that make me feel good. So I thought, well, she's like, just come to Bali. It's like, I live there. It's great. Just, you know, in the way she said it so easily, so freely, it made it feel achievable. So I, 3 months later, I guess it, again, it was all like the wheels were going in my head, but I wasn't sort of actioning anything, but I knew I was going to be going. I then booked the flights and landed in Bali, December 2022, 2 years ago. And then that was just like, Bali's like another level. Oh, there's just so much about it. Like, the people out there really make a difference. You know, you can go somewhere, and if you've got, like, the culture's not nice, it can affect your whole experience. And everyone out there is kind. They want to talk to you. There's no judgment. You can go anywhere dressed as anything, no makeup, hair scraped on top of your head, holes in your T-shirt, and people just look at you the same way. It's this beautiful, they look for your soul rather than like the visual, the aesthetic. So you feel really comfortable just being you out there. And that was something, I spent 5 months out there in the end. I was meant to be going for a month, and I ended up extending it because I really hate this term, but you know, when people say, well, did you find yourself? I found things out about myself that I didn't realize I needed or didn't know, no therapy session, no conversation with friends or family give you what travel does. And travel is, like I would say, is the best form of therapy. It really does open you up, because you have to get vulnerable and go outside the comfort zone to receive the benefits. And Bali is a really nice space to do that in, because of how the people are and accepting they are. And there's some wonderful islands to visit. I'd highly recommend Bali.
I agree. I was lucky enough to go there with a friend, and same as you, I didn't extend my trip for that long, but we ended up staying longer than we anticipated. We changed our flights home because we just didn't want to leave. And it's a very spiritual place as well. And I think for those that are interested in whether it's yoga or breath work, or I mean, you can indulge in all of the really more unusual kind of well-being and the therapies and the classes, can't you?
Yes, yeah, there's a whole scene over there. And what's nice about Bali is you've got different pockets. So you have, there's a place called Ubud, which is very, very spiritual. And you go there and it's almost like driving into Ubud, you feel this energy. It's like a feeling, like a field of, you just feel the space change. And it's beautiful. It's very, very, there's lots of trees. It's very nature. It's jungly. And that experience of Bali is so different from somewhere, say, like Canggu, which is a bit more hipster, a bit more cool. You've got the beaches, beach clubs, but not like, don't think like European beach clubs. Just think like, you know, coconuts on the beach kind of beach club vibes. And you've got the experience of two. And I found myself just dipping between both. So I based myself in Canggu, and then I would visit other areas, and I would have this need for the Ubud experience every now and then. I'd say every sort of 2 weeks, I'd be like, oh, I need a bit of that side of it, the spiritual stuff. And, you know, a lot of people judge Bali on that. They say that it's too wacky, it's too like out there because of the spirituality. But you don't have to, you know, you can dip in and dip out. You don't have to become like a hippie to be there. You can be whoever you want to be. It doesn't matter what you do. But what's nice is that you can experience the things, like you said, like breathwork, yoga, meditation, which are all things I have been interested in, but probably never given myself enough time or space to really fully immerse myself in it and learn from it. And breathwork, my God, has changed my life. It's mad what you can get from that, which you, when people explain it, you're just thinking, yeah, okay, I don't know what she's on about, but you're just breathing. But you know, everything we do in life is controlled by our breath, or if we can control our breath, we can control everything in our lives. And even just down to being nervous, right? Say coming on this podcast today, say I felt nervous, I would do some breath work. And then I'd be like, oh, fine again. It's just about being in control of that. So you just feel really powerful when you've done it and chilled and relaxed. So yeah, there's that whole spiritual side out there, which I absolutely adore and love. And I've brought a lot of that back with me. Well, when I was in London, I brought that back to London and tried to keep it up. But I will say it's hard when you return from a place like that. You know, London does get you again. London is, you get back on the fast train and before you know it, you're doing the whole don't look at me, you know, don't make eye contacts thing again. It's interesting how every city has its different way and how you embody that.
I agree. And as you said, Bali has got so much to offer, and all the beautiful temples that you can visit are stunning, aren't they? I remember in Ubud going to the famous swings. If you're somebody that's quite big on Instagram, then you'll know, I'm sure you will have seen people on these sort of swings, and you can hire a floaty dress and you're almost sort of swinging as if you're going off the side of a sort of mountainous hill, or you're swinging in the sky because of these huge swings. But you have to be quite brave, but it's worth doing because the outlook is really breathtaking and it's such a unique thing to do. And I remember going to a lovely butterfly house as well. So if you love nature in its really kind of raw, authentic form, unspoiled, I think Bali is great for that. And also very affordable once you're out there as well, which is a great plus for people that are having extended trips. I think you can live a very nice quality of life for a really reasonable price. Would you agree with that?
Oh my goodness. So when I was there 2 years ago, it was ridiculously cheap, but we were coming out the other end of lockdown. So everything was lower because they just wanted the tourism. When I went back last month, I noticed the changes, but still you can live like a queen out there for minimal money. Whereas you can't do that in the UK, you know, so you're getting the benefits of just Bali being Bali, but you also, you feel like, you know, you can, you're royalty. and they treat you like that as well because they're so lovely. So yeah, you can, it's everything feels like it's like you're getting a discounted rate, or you've got a bargain, or you've got, so yeah, you can live a very nice life out there for not much money.
And lots of nice retreats as well. When I went, I stayed at a women's only retreat and it was heaven. And as you said, so affordable. If you do love your massages, your facials, your treatments, they can be quite pricey over here, but over there, everything is so affordable that you can indulge a little bit more, can't you?
Oh my God, I was like, my nails were perfect. I was getting facials all the time, constant massages. And that again all adds to the experience because you're in this constant state of relaxation, because getting a massage in London or the UK is like, it's a treat, right? It's not, it's a luxury. It's something that we're like, right, okay, I'm going to go and treat myself. Whereas out there, because they've got a nice balance of sort of like exercise, so you can like gym really, really hard or train really well or whatever, and then you can go and have a massage to like rest and recover from it. So it's sort of seen as like, of course you would go and have a massage because it's part of your recovery. So it's a necessity, it's not a luxury. But in the UK, because it's so expensive, we see it as it's a treat. So yeah, that's why I spent 5 months out there. I was like, God, I need to go home at some point. But it was just so lovely.
Living your best life. And the Bali sunsets are pretty special as well, aren't they?
Oh my God, they are something else. I don't know. Anywhere else I've visited has not given that pinky kind of beautiful. And the sun rises as well. They are, if you could get there at the right time, like the reflection on the water, it's like you take a picture and then you're like, oh, it's got better, and you take another picture and then you're just taking like 15 pictures because every minute the colors change, and you just like, my reels on my phone are just like colors, sunset sunrises, because they are stunning. And if that is something that feeds you, which it definitely does me, I go there solely for the sunset and sunrises. Like that's enough on its own. The rest is just, you know, it's incredible.
An extra. So on this particular trip that you're on, your solo trip, you've obviously started in Bali and now you're in Sydney right now, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yes, I wanted to kind of see Bali again and see it differently. And it's mad, like in 2 years, when you grow as a person, your experience is so different. So this time around was a lot more mild. It was just so different, enjoyable. And I stayed in a different area this time in Bali. So I did a month there and then I flew to, yes, Sydney. And Sydney is, I don't know what I thought. I didn't know what I was coming into, but I didn't expect it to be so city. I thought it was, I think coming from Bali, which is like shacky, you know, flip-flops, and then coming to Sydney, which is a city. It's like London with a beach. But for some reason, I didn't quite plan for that. So I remember feeling like pretty underwhelmed when I first arrived. I just thought, this is like being in Bank Station. But once you kind of see other areas and you experience the beach and the sunsets here are also beautiful, and you start living a bit more of a Sydney lifestyle, you really start to love it. They have this nice culture of, and I never thought I was going to be this person. I still don't know if I am, but I'd like to be. They have a 5 a.m. club. So in the, you know, in the UK, we kind of get up, we go to work. We might train in the morning, but generally we sort of get up, go to work, and then probably go to the gym after, go home, have some dinner, watch Married at First Sight, and then go to bed. Like that's kind of like the routine. Whereas here, they have a morning on top of their mornings. So everybody gets up at 5 a.m., they go down to the beach and go for a swim, or they go for a jog, or they do something active. It's really like an active lifestyle, but it's not forced. It's not like you feel like you have to do that. If you just want to sit on the beach and watch the sunset, you can do that with your coffee. So they have this 5 a.m. club that, you know, get up, they go for coffee after. So everyone sits and has like a morning catch up with their friends. So you've got 2 hours before your day's even started where you have exercised or walked to the beach, caught up with some friends, and then it's still 7 a.m. so you've got the rest of your day. So then you go home, you have a shower, get ready for work, and then you start your day. And then they also finish their day earlier. So the coffee shops around here close between 2 and 3 p.m. So they're kind of setting up for the next day. And then people go to bed at like 8:30, 9 p.m., which sounds super early. And, you know, for me, like, it feels like I'm chopping off my evening, but you're not, because you've added your morning with the 5 a.m. start. And I'm not saying I've got up every morning at 5 a.m. I definitely haven't, but I'm slowly adjusting my clock to live this, the lifestyle out here. And I'm really enjoying that, because I'm a bright person. I need sunshine. I need the brightness. I hate it when it gets dark in the evening. So it feels like you have a longer day and you can get so much more done.
I love the sound of that. What a lovely lifestyle. That does sound like the dream, to be warm enough and in such beautiful surroundings that you can go meet your friends at the beach before your day's even begun. That's just incredible, when most of us will probably either be up, maybe running around looking after kids, or still in bed because it's dark. You wouldn't have that kind of enjoyment that you can have over there. So that's really, really lovely. I'm glad that you're enjoying it as much as you are.
Yeah, it's taken a while, I will say that. And I think whenever you go abroad, it depends. If you're going on a trip, you know, a trip I see as something is like a week long or something, right, or holiday. But when you're going to somewhere for a little bit longer, we have this, I guess everybody says, but it feels very British for me. We say, you know, oh my God, you're going to have such a good time. You're going to love it. And you hear this so often from everyone, right? So before I left, you're going to love Sydney. You're going to love it. You're going to have such a good time. And by the 20th person that said it, you're like, okay, I get it. It's going to be great. I'm going to have a good time. So you don't leave any room for like maybe that uncertainty or that feeling of like, what the hell have I done? And so landing here, I just presumed I was going to love it. But it has taken, like, I've been here 6 weeks now. And I would say only in the last week have I started to enjoy it, because I've been so occupied with trying to enjoy it. Like, I should want to get up at 5 a.m. I should love this because it's a beach, and I should love all these things. But actually, it's your way. It's the way you want to live it. It's the way I want to live it. So maybe I just needed to adjust a bit more. So I think, I mean, I can't speak for the whole of Australia, but Sydney in particular, you need to give it time, unless you're doing a trip. So if you know you're there for 3 weeks, you pack it in, you do all this touristy stuff, and you live that holiday lifestyle. But when you're somewhere for a little bit longer, you're seeing it differently. You're trying to find friendships. You're trying to find your local gym, your local coffee shop. So it does feel slightly different, and it takes a while. So anyone that says you're going to love it, you know, I think people do love it, and it is great out here, but you have to give yourself a bit of time to enjoy it.
To settle in, and when you are having a long trip, and especially a solo trip, you need to build that little community, that sense of security, the friendship, the familiar faces, and those bonds with people. And of course, that doesn't necessarily happen overnight, but I know how much you're enjoying it now. So I'm so glad that it's worked out well for you, and that you might even stay there even longer than you anticipated potentially.
Yes, I will. I mean, I'm giving it my best shot. And I mean, I'm looking out right now and I can see the beach from this window, which is absolutely stunning. So I'm going to give it my absolute all. And if it doesn't work out, you know, London is still there, and there's nothing against London. I still love London. And the fact that we're going into spring, summer is like, so I think summer in London is very special. That would always be like a place I'd like to be. But if not, then, you know, Bali is always there too. There's just so many places to see in the world.
So much potential. I was going to ask you, as you touched upon loving London in the summer, are there any little UK hotspots that are your go-tos, or can you recommend to our listeners any little gems that you think the UK has to offer?
I guess the older I've got, the more I have this need for greenery. I love nature now. So any spaces with water or greenery is where I tend to gravitate towards. So I went up to Scotland last February, and that blew my mind. I had such a beautiful experience out there for many different reasons. I was only there 3 nights, but I think you have to see, like, what we don't do in the UK is we just leave. We don't stay and we don't travel around. We stay in the UK. We travel to Europe because we're like the sunshine. But actually, there's so much beauty in it. Cornwall is also absolutely stunning. Winchester has loads to offer. They have loads of parks and loads of space. Essex, my God, Essex is, you know, the greenery out there is stunning as well. The walks you can do. It depends on what you're looking for. And I'm always looking for fresh air that I can feel like I can stand on top of a hill or a cliff and breathe in like non-fumed, not London air. And hear nature. So that's what I'm always chasing, water, nature. So anything with like a lake is a bit of me. So, yeah, I would say, I mean, it probably sounds like the typical places, but Winchester in particular has a lot to offer, I'd say.
That's a new one for me. Actually, I'm going to write that down because it's not somewhere that I am familiar with. So that's, I love getting UK gyms and top tips because I'm such a fan of staycations and weekends away. So that's definitely somewhere that I will try out. And before we let you go, I'd love to just touch on any travel tips or hacks that you have, because now you are such a jet setter and obviously you've traveled a lot for your TV career and things like that. Have you picked up any little rituals or tips that you can share with us along the way?
I'll be specific with the solo travel on this, because I think this a lot of people ask me questions about it, and you know, they're sort of on the like verge of booking it and not sure whether to. So for specifically solo travel, I would say your first three nights, if you're going somewhere for like a long period of time, and especially if you're going somewhere quite far, for your first three nights, book somewhere really nice. Book a space that feels comfortable. Like for me personally, I need a good bed. I need a comfortable bed. I need bright spaces and clean, just clean, 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 linen and everything, like clean and white. Like that is what makes me feel like I've got a little bit of home from home. And when you are traveling on your own, it's important, I guess, for myself to have those, just the familiarities, because that's what we're always searching for. Because it is scary. You know, it's like, even when I got back to Bali in January, I was like, oh, okay, I'm abroad. Like, oh, insects. Oh my God. Oh, it's really hot and humid. And you know, you kind of, you go into like almost like an alert mode. But I booked three nights in a really nice place. And I just had like, you know, water that I wanted to drink, a fresh bed. And then I moved around and then I got a bit grubby. And then I did it like the way that you would do Bali. So yeah, I'd say the top tip is to just find some, for the first couple of nights, find something that feels familiar. And a good bed, get a good night's sleep, and don't judge it on the day one. Get a good night's sleep and then, you know, choose how you want, how you feel about it. But get there, you will probably freak out on day one, especially if it's your first time of travel. Even if it's your fifth time, I still have a like, on day one, and arrive in the day. Look, God, I've got all the tips out. Arrive daytime. Arriving at night, everything, your senses are a bit more, you're a bit more sensitive because it's dark and you can't see. So you're that kind of like high alert thing again. So arriving somewhere like in the daytime where you can actually like suss out, like that is where the local shop is. This is where the road to the beach is. And you just, there's something different about arriving in the daytime. That would be my top tips.
Great tips. Yeah, I think it allows you to get your bearings. And when it comes to actual flight, CC, like, do you have anything specific that you always take with you onto the plane, or what you wear, things like that?
Go for comfortables. I mean, you know, I see these like people on Instagram and I'm like, how are you like top to bottom in heels and dressed to like, for me, I'm just about being as comfortable as possible. I'm a fidget, right? I can't sit still for, you can see me moving now, like I can't sit still for more than 10 minutes. So being on a flight for 9 hours or whatever is, the idea of it, the thought of it is, I struggle with it. So being really, really comfortable in your clothing is one thing. And also just warm. I always get cold on flights because of the temperature drop. And obviously when you're tired as well, you're fatigued, your body temperature naturally drops. So take the things that just feel warm. And I always take something, actually, and this is something for travel as well, I always take a pillowcase with me with my washing powder. So I wash it before I leave, put it in the suitcase, and just having something that smells like my washing powder or my comfort is again something that feels, it's the home from home, it's the familiarity thing. So smells, you can do it with like pillow spray as well, or candles, but candles are quite heavy. But smells, so on the plane, like same thing, like sniffing like a pillow or something that's like my clean washing. I don't know why. I don't know. It may sound really odd, but it just feels familiar for me. And it's like, ah, it's just fairy. It's just fairy liquid, but it just smells like it
smells my like home washing. And it smells like your bed at home. And yeah, our sense of smell and our relationship with scent is really powerful. And for me, I always used to like to buy a little holiday perfume at the airport. And then that particular fragrance would kind of bring back all my memories every time I'd then spritz it after the holiday. So I actually think that's a really lovely trip. And for people on their own as well, to have that kind of comfort and to have your own pillowcase, I think that smells of home and smells familiar is a really lovely tip. And yeah, you've got to be warm and you've got to be comfortable on those flights. I don't know how people dress up. It's not for me. I'd wear pajamas if I could.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, apparently in business class, which I haven't flown yet, you get comfies, you get, like, I think it's the White Company give you a full pajama set. The dream, the goal, to fly business and get the pyjamas.
Yes, that's something to aim for. And is there anywhere else, Cece, on your bucket list that you haven't been to yet that you know you're going to go to in the future? It's like a dream for you.
I get asked this so often, like, where's next? I say this and I don't, it takes a while for everything to surface in my head. I think I have these thoughts, say in January, and then by June I'm like, right, I'm doing it, I'm going. It feels very last minute. It feels very like I'm booking it, I'm just gonna go, when actually these thoughts have been pending for like 6-7 months. So I probably do have something in the subconscious going on that it wants to go with it, but right now no. And it could be because I'm actually really starting to enjoy where I am, and Australia has so much to offer, and there's so many different places. Like, I went up to Brisbane last week. This week I'm going to Melbourne, and they're all a flight away. So you feel like you're actually in a completely different country, but within Australia. So you get, there's a lot, you get topped up here, like that travel, the travel is kind of, the bug, travel bug is topped up constantly because you can do mini flights everywhere. So no, I don't think I have. I think the next few places that I'm interested in, I'd probably want to do with a partner. I think there's places that you do solo, and then there's places that I'd like to do with a partner and experience it with someone. It's like watching a movie. You know, some movies you watch on your own, there's other movies that you want to go, oh my God, did you see that? Obviously they saw that next to you, but you just want to go, you know, and it's like the same thing with travel. You want to go, oh my God, did you see that bird? Did you see that little sunset? It's something you experience together. So maybe... yeah, I there's some places that I'd want to experience with a partner, and then, you know, the rest I can do alone.
Yeah, those lovely romantic destinations. But it's so nice to have, like you say, things in your mind to think about different stages of your life. As things change, your travel experiences change with you, and you see different experiences in different parts of the world with different people. But for now, you are flying the flag for solo travel, and I'm so grateful to have been able to share your experience with the listeners, because I know through your Instagram people ask you a lot of questions. I know there's a real interest and desire for so many people to bite the bullet and go solo, and sometimes it's these kind of conversations that might just give people listening that extra little boost of confidence to take the plunge and follow in your footsteps. So thank you so much. And Cece, where can people follow you and find you and just sort of see what you're up to next?
Generally Instagram is my go-to. So Cece_Coleman_, I think that's my handle. It's generally, yeah, where I sort of post where I am and what I'm doing and sunsets. You'll see a lot of sunsets on there. That's yeah, that's my posting now.
I am living vicariously through you and your stories at the moment while I'm back in the UK. But Cece, thank you so much. I know it's still your morning. You've got your full day of work and everything ahead. So thanks for taking the time to join us on the podcast, and enjoy the rest of your time in Australia. I miss you, but stay as long as you like. Just get every little bit out of the experience. And thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you for having me. And also, I'm just going to quickly touch on, like, if anyone is thinking about doing the solo travel thing, you really have nothing to lose. It's everything to gain. It really is a great experience to learn about yourself. Like, the growth I've got from it, like I said earlier, like, there's no therapy session you can have that will give you what you get from solo travel, because you put yourself in spaces that you can't reach without going there. So, you know, at least do it once, at least try it. And if you don't like it, you have ticked that box anyway, but at least try it. Do, you know, 48 hours. I promise you it's worth it.
What a brilliant note to end on. Thank you so much, Cece. I couldn't agree more. And thank you so much for listening to the latest episode of the Travel Podcast. If you have been inspired by any of the destinations that Cece has mentioned in this podcast, and you'd like some help with a solo trip, if you want someone to help you plan it, then please get in touch with your Not Just Travel consultant. If you don't have one already, don't worry. All you need to do is log on to our website and you can just pop in your postcode and we will allocate a travel consultant who can use all their knowledge, expertise to help plan an amazing solo trip, family trip, holiday, weekend away or staycation. Whatever you are looking for, they are ready to help you. Please do rate, review, subscribe and tune in again next week. I've been Hayley Sparks. Thanks for listening. I'll see you then.